Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Welcome. This is Apostle Court. Welcome to Straight Talk. This is our first broadcast, a launch for the live stream, live internet radio. I want to apologize for the glitch in the system, but welcome back. Stay tuned tonight and in the days to come. We will be posting our broadcast schedule on this website, on the Straight Talk Radio website, as well as on my Facebook page. You can get that information there. Well, let me pray first before we get into the word tonight. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for allowing us to be here and over the airways and those to the listeners. Father, I pray that your blessings be upon them, that you will anoint their ears and their hearts to hear, to perceive what your Spirit is saying to your people and to the body of Christ tonight. Father, we ask your grace, we ask for your mercy. Let your Spirit reign. Let the gifts of your Spirit be in operation tonight. Let there be activation of hearing. Let there be activation of faith, Father. Let your people come into a new place of understanding, a new place of receiving, and a new place of praise and growth in you. You said you sent your word to heal and just deliver them out of all their troubles and all their stresses. So let a word come tonight that will deliver. Let the word be a word of deliverance. Let it be a word that will provoke. Let it be a word that would charge your people and change your people to come to a place of satisfaction and praise and rest in you tonight. So I yield myself tonight, Father, that you will guide my words and my tongue. Let the Holy Spirit have dominion. Right now I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, welcome to Straight Talk. We're back on the air. It's been about a year since I was on the radio with WYCA. I'm here now streaming live on the internet. And you'll be hearing us weekly. And live broadcast at least once a week, at least. Hopefully, as time goes, we'll add to the live broadcast, and you can hear a word daily. Also, we're going to post our schedules and the archive information, as well as how you can get in touch with us and upcoming events, which we do have a few that's coming. But let me get started tonight. Let me give you what God has put in my heart to do, is to come on the radio, to come live. God has put something in my heart for the body of Christ, but very specifically for men. God has given me a heart's cry for men as I see men in my travels throughout our Christian community in our region. And I'm now in 39 years of ministry. I'm in my 40th year, 39 plus some. And I remember in the days when I got saved and growing up in the church and in ministry and pastoring churches and training and raising men. And now I look today and see the men at a state that they're not as valor as they were. They don't seem to be as valor. It's not a seeming. They're not as valor as we were 10, 15, 20 years ago. I remember when I got saved, our founder and pastor, senior pastor, my spiritual father, called me, and Apostle Eckhart called us the sons of thunder. He said we were on fire. And that was our generation. It wasn't just the two of us, but it was a lot of young people at that time that we had that. And we grew up into our adulthood with that type of fervor, with that type of a fire. And I look now at the generation of men today, I see the fire burning inside, but there seems to be something that they cannot get it out. And back in 2011, God put something in my heart, And, you know, I went through some ordeals into some situations where that kind of, I don't think it was a sidetracking. I think it was a divine delay for such a time as now. But God put this in my heart. He spoke a word to me back in July 2011. And he said, restore the men. I didn't understand it at that time. I was going through a lot of situations and traumas in my own life. But those things have worked themselves out. I've come full circle. And a few months ago, God really burdened on my heart to begin a movement to restore men. He gave me the Men's Restoration Network. And it was a thing to pull men together, begin to network with men, to bring men back to a place of service to the Lord. Now, I know it's not just me, but there are a lot of men. You know, we've gone through a season where there's been a restoration for women. Women are now preaching and they're turning the world upside down. We thank God for them because the Bible said that they are helpmeet. And they are helping. But one of the problems I see is the men are not in place for them to help. And sometimes men have gotten intimidated by the anointing, the preaching, the authority, the prosperity, the advancement of women. Where we ought to be shouting hallelujah, praise God, running around the corner thanking God that he's raising up women with such anointing, with such word, with such fire. Prayer warriors, I mean, with diligence and vigilance about them, vigilance about them. That excites me when I see that with women. But it breaks my heart when I see men are not moving in that fervor, in that fire, when they God needs the barracks to come forward. Not just send the Deborahs out, but send the Baraks out. They need to team together and come forth. And God has put this in my heart that we need to begin to focus on restoring the men. And God has put in my heart that this season of my life is to be focused toward restoring the men. Now, I love the women. As you'll hear that in the event, it's hard not to do something and not include the women. But I know the women desire. I've talked to many women. Women who desire to be married, they're looking for husbands. They're looking for real men to marry. They don't want gigolos. They don't want igolos. They don't want pimps, players. They want men of God who serve God, who love God more than they love them or love the women themselves. And this is why I hear the women talk to me, and they say this to me. Is there any more real men out there? I said, they're there. They just need to be restored. So God is, I sense, that there's coming a movement in the earth that's really going to restore men to their place in God, their place in authority, their place in leadership, their place in spiritual leadership. God's going to raise up the men. God's going to restore the men. God's going to deliver the men in this hour and put them back in that place of where he purposed them to be when he created Adam in the garden, where the Bible says that God walked and talked with God with Adam in the cool of the day. And God is still looking for that, to walk and talk with his men. God is looking to have that close fellowship, that father-son relationship that he had with Adam. He wants to have that with you and I. And not just on a every now and then basis, but he wants that daily. So my purpose and my vision and my mission is to get men back to that place where they can have that relationship with their Heavenly Father. And walk and talk with God in the cool of the day and have that one-on-one daddy-son time and fellowship and enjoyment in that place of Eden. God wants to bring us back to a place of Eden. And so it's going to take a working of men, a networking of men. One question comes up often, am I my brother's keeper? And I want to answer that, you are your brother's keeper. I remember, you know, I grew up back in the 50s and the 60s. Don't make me old now, I'm still a young man, y'all. I'm not 120 yet. When I'm 121, you might start looking at me like I'm old. But, you know, I'm in the 50s and the 60s, and I come up in an era when, you know, the community raised us. When the neighbor down the street would put a strap to your back, call your parents and tell them they caught you acting up. And then when you get home, you got tagged again. So our neighbors were our brothers. They were our keepers. They kept us safe. They caused and helped us to grow up to be respectable men. And that seems to have been lost now. Now, no one wants anybody to touch their kids. You know, you can see your kids cutting somebody out, but your parents don't want anybody to say anything to their children. I tell my neighbors, you see my kids acting up, tag them, call me, send them home so I can re-tag them. And that has kept my children, you know, in somewhat in alignment with how they ought to behave themselves. They're children of God. They're children of men and women of God. and they need to behave likewise. So my prayer and my vision, my goal is get us back to that place where we are our brother's keepers, where it takes a community to raise a child. That brought safety. That brought protection and security to a community. And I believe it's going to take the men. I knew it's going to take the men. When I can see what society has come to because of the men are not on their pulse, are not on their place of duty and responsibility. And God is going to be doing it in this hour. This has been something that's been stirring in my heart for, as I said, since July of 2011. That's 4 years. It's been really stirring in my heart. And this is the season God says time to release it. It's time to move. And it's just at this time that, you know, God says, okay, now move back to the airways, begin to minister to people, be a voice, to stir them up, to provoke them, to charge them, and bring them to a place, to bring them back to me. It's not about condemnation. It's about conviction. I want the Holy Spirit to begin to convict your heart, not condemn you. Don't run from God. Run to God. The purpose of us being here speaking is to cause you to run to God. Run back to your place of creation. Run back to that place of fellowship. Back to your Eden with God. That's what we're here for. That's our purpose, and that's our goal. And I know there's some things people say I'm kind of harsh. I'm kind of hard. My purpose is like Paul, not to anger you, not to make you bitter, but it is to provoke you. I want you to be stirred at the words that I say. I want you to contemplate. I want you to think about the words that I say. I'm not looking for you to agree and holler amen. But I do want to cause you to think. I want you to contemplate on what the word of the Lord is saying. I want you to contemplate your situation, where you are with God, and be honest and ask yourself, am I where God desires, has purpose for me to be? And if not, then this is the broadcast for you. This is a no-frills, no-thrills broadcast. I'm a no-frills, no-thrills preacher. As I say, I'm going into 40 years of ministry. I'm in my 39th year, headed to a 40 years of ministry. I've seen a lot of things. I've experienced a lot of things. I've traveled the world. I've pastored several churches. I've planted schools and ministries worldwide. I've seen it all. And I found something. I see some men are the same all throughout the world. We desire the one thing, the same thing. That is to be close with God, to be a friend of God, to be sons of God. We have one thing in common. And that is what God desires for us to do, to help each other come back to that place in God. But listen, I want to go into a scripture here. In the book of 2 Samuel, you know, I've been in my church, I've been teaching people how to read the Bible and understand it for themselves. So many times we've gone to church most all our lives, and we relied on what the preacher said. But when it's time for us to answer, when we have a question asked concerning the things of God, we're not able to answer. All we know is what the preacher said. We can't show anyone in the scripture. We can't debate the scripture. We cannot teach the scripture. We cannot expound on the word of God because we're not ready for ourselves and ask God to give us understanding. What I challenge my congregation to do, and those that come to our fellowship in East Chicago, is to read the Bible. So we started in Genesis, and begin to walk them through the Bible, book by book, with understanding. When they come out of this every week, they got clarity of each book of the Bible. I'm not teaching them doctrine. I'm teaching them how to read, how to understand. What is God saying? So I believe this, that if anyone's given the proper information, we can come to a godly conclusion. We can come to a sensible, educated, informed decision about what is being said and what is being done. And so in the word of God, so what we've been doing is a few weeks ago, we covered the book of Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel. And one thing that stood out to me in the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 10, we see in this chapter, David has sent messages to conference to Hanan. And the Ammon, the children of Ammon, and the Ammonites were coming against to take the land. They were always in battle. God gave David the authority, the victory over his enemies. And they were in battle with Syria, the Syrians, and the Ammonites. And the story we see here as David's generals, Joab and Abishai, they were a great host of enemies, and they saw where they might have been outnumbered. But I like what these men did. They were brothers, by the way, and in battle. They both were generals, had great companies under them. So they come to the battle, and they look out and see the enemy. They saw that they were outnumbered. There was no doubt about that. So these were men of faith. That's what I love about these two brothers. They were men of faith. And why am I picking this scripture for this topic? It's because we're talking about brothers. We're talking about men being men. We're talking about men covenanting and networking together. You know, a lot of times we talk about networks. We want to put networks to business or talk about networking to make money. But we need to talk more about networking to build the kingdom of God, where I'm not in this for me, you're not in this for you, but we're in it for the kingdom of God. Now, I love this story here, 2 Samuel chapter 10, and I'm going to start at verse 7. It says, and when David heard it, he sent Joab. He heard about the enemies coming. He says, he sent Joab and all the host of mighty men. And the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array at the entering of the gates. And the Syrians of Zobah and of Rehob and of Ishtab, Mahasha, were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw that the front of the battle was against him, before and behind. It was before him and behind him. They were somewhat surrounded. The enemy was so great. It says, he chose of all the choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. Verse 10 says, and the rest of the people he divided to the hand and to the hands of Abishai, his brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. Verse 11 says, and he said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. Verse 12 says, I love this verse. It says, be of good courage, let us play the men for our people and for the city of our God, the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth good. Now, I love that scripture. They saw a great company that in any natural sense could defeat them. They could be annihilated. But they had faith in God. They were men, not just mighty men, but they were men of faith. They knew that they come together, network together. They knew they could overcome this enemy. At least they know they can stop the enemy. They can put the enemy at bay. They was like, y'all might be greater than us. More for us than against us than for us. He says, but the latter part of that verse said, but the Lord would do which seemeth good to him. If it was good for God to allow them to be defeated, they would say, amen, God. But they looked at it and said, whatever seems good to, so be it. Now, I love that because these brothers had a covenant. These brothers knew how to network and told them to be of courage, but let us play the men for our people. Now, that term right there stood in my spirit when I read this some weeks ago. Let us play the men. I want to talk to you men tonight in a few days and weeks to come about us playing the men, about us being men. It says, let us play the men. It talks about playing the role of the men. It talks about courage. It talks about authority. It talks about not caring just for yourself, but caring about your family, your community, the people around about you, the next generation. It talks about being courageous. When it talks about being a man, it talks about having courage. Courage that's not selfish. A courage that's concerned about somebody else, that's concerned about a greater cause than yourself. So when he says, let us play the man, let us play the men, let us not be so concerned about whether or not we'll live or die, let us not be so concerned about whether or not how much money we're going to get, how much we're going to take, how much spoils we're going to take from the battle. No, that was not the concern. But let us play the men for our people. I love this. They wasn't thinking about themselves. And I think one of the problems so many times is we men, we've come to a place where, and I, believe me, I understand where we are. I understand you. I've been there. You know, we've served in churches, we've served leaders, and we put all our eggs in the basket. We just thought things were just going to be so glorious, and things didn't always necessarily turn out that way. Amen, somebody. I'm a living witness of that. But, you know, my faith did not lie within what man can do for me. My faith lies in God. So sometimes what we do as men, we've looked because we've gotten connected with something or someone or a cause, and it did not go as we desired and thought or suspected it should go, and it didn't go that way, so we've gotten turned off. Some of us even gotten hurt. And we're so hurt, so deeply hurt and bitter that we don't want to serve God. We don't want to attend church. We don't want to help anybody. And we begin to look at preachers like they're all crooks. Well, I want to say something to you. All preachers ain't crooks. Every preacher there is not concerned about your wallet. There are generally some men of God and women of God that are concerned about your soul and your well-being and building you to be the man of God that God purposed and created for you to be. I want to just caution you there. Be careful that you put every preacher you see in the same boat. There are some that are like that. There are some that are concerned about prosperity and wealth, and they want their jets and that type of lifestyle. But every man is not like that. Every preacher is not like that. You be careful, because you will cut yourselves off from the blessings of God. When God there's still hope for you, God still loves you, God still desires you, and God wants you. Now, I believe that's why he will have us on the airwaves tonight to talk from this day forward, to talk the way that we're going to be talking. It's going to be a no bars hold. We're not going to hold back. We're going to say some stuff. Y'all know I'm very provocative in my speech. I say things that just turn people off. It just upsets some people. But it takes that to stir you, to shake you, to rock your world, that I ask God to allow me to say it and to allow you to hear it, that your heart may be turned back to God. Amen. Even in the book of Malachi, he talks about the hearts of the fathers. God is turning the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the hearts of the children back to the father. Not just your natural father, but it's about God using us men to turn his people, to turn the young men, the boys, the girls, the young girls, the women, to turn their hearts to God. He wants to use the men, fathers, to turn the hearts of his people back to Father God. Now, I think that's a part we miss, because we've been somewhat fatherless. We've not been father like we ought to have been father. I mean, I had a father. You know, he was there at the house sometimes. He lived there, but he wasn't much of a father as far as teaching us and nurturing us in the things of God. He was not a man who served God himself. So it would have been somewhat difficult for him to teach us how to serve God. But he taught us how to be humans, how to be provide. He taught us some basic things. He did not teach us how to serve God, unless you want to look at his lifestyle and say, I don't want to live like that. And that's kind of the road that I took. And God had mercy on me and saved my soul and brought me into the family of God and into the ministry. But he's using men. He desired to use the men. This is the hour that God's going to use you, brother. God's going to use the men. He's going to turn your heart. God's going to say something, do something, put you in a situation through providential circumstances that's going to turn your heart and your mind to God. It's going to cause you to think again. It's going to cause you to consider again. It's going to cause you to desire to want to talk to God again, to come and have a meeting with God again. I want to say this to you. Your past experience and your past situation, please do not let it dictate your future prosperity and your eternity, because of what some leader failed you in. We all been failed somewhere by some leader, by some man. That's a part of life. That was one of the problems with Israel, as we studied throughout the book of Israel, through the book of the Old Testament, that the people of God, the people of Israel, they just couldn't get it together, because they wanted a man as a king. They wanted a man to lead them. And that was the problem, and we have that problem today. We're always looking for some man to lead us, instead of looking for God to be our leader, for God to be my king and to be my Lord. They had a problem from the day that they said, we want a king like the other people, like the other nations. God was offended, because God said, well, they don't want me. I'm their king. I'm the one that triumphantly brought them out of Egypt. I'm the one triumphantly delivered them from Egyptians and drowned them in the sea. I'm the one that fed them with manna from heaven. I'm the one that gave them victory over all their enemies. God was the one, and they were there. And I, you know, sometimes I wonder, what was these people thinking to see the miracles they saw before they came out of Egypt? As they came out of Egypt, to see the Red Sea open and swallow up the Egyptians, and then to see manna every day fall from heaven, to see God appear in the fire at night in a pillar, a cloud in the daytime, their shoes never wore out. They were never went hungry. They never got sick. They lived the miracle. And then to get to the other side of the Jordan and say, we want a man. I can't imagine. But honestly, why not? Because we kind of do that today. We've seen the miracles of God. Some of you men that's listening right now, you are walking miracle. The life you came from, the things God delivered you from, you are a walking miracle. Now, for you to come to a place to allow a man to decide your destiny because he's wounded you, because he's failed you, because he's let you down, then that's a slap in God's face. Again, you're saying to God, dear Lord, I thank you for saving me, but I want this man to be my king. I want this man to be my daddy. I want this man to be my Lord. That's an offense to God. And God had a problem with that then. He'll have a problem with it today. But that's sort of the situation that we found ourselves in. But God wants to have us speak words. We're going to have teachings and ministry, and we're going to have a gathering that's going to be specifically targeted for men. Brother, let me tell you something. I'm a man. I want you to look at me because I'm an apostle, and I've been serving God all these years. Yeah, I'm serving him faithfully, but I wouldn't lie to you and tell you that it's been easy. It ain't been easy. The Bible said Jesus was in like manner as you are, in all areas tempted, just like man. And I know it's hard for some people to imagine Jesus being tempted like you. Think about yourself. Think about your temptations. Think about your situations. Come on, think about it. So when you think about that, that's why Jesus was able to die for you. That's why he was able to take your place. Because he connected himself with you and the things you went through then and the things you are going through right now. God, Jesus connected with you. He identifies with you. And if he did not identify with you, he could not have been a sacrifice for you, for your sins, to take on his body the things that you should be taking on yours. But he takes it for you. He's the lamb, the sacrifice made for your sins, for your transgression. So I want you to think about this thing again. I've been there. I've had leaders over me that I've been offended by, I've been hurt by. But I had to come to a place to myself, is this who saved me? Is this who died for me? Is this who shed his blood for me? And I came to the conclusion that they're not. So I'm not angry at those men. I'm grateful that those situations opened my eyes and helped me to see and allowed me to not make the mistakes that Israel made and saying, we want a man to lead us. Give us a king like the other nations. And that's what we seem to be as men today. We look at mega churches. We look at people who look very, ministers who are very prosperous. They got stuff. They got big churches, thousands of people. They got planes and cars and houses and suits, and they got money. We look at that stuff and say, I want that man to be my leader. I want to be like him. And a lot of us have done that. And we're outside today looking in. We're hurting today because we've done that. Is there anything wrong with that? Yeah, let me tell you what's wrong with it. We put all those eggs in that basket, and those eggs got crushed. It's called scrambled egg. Egg omelet. They made egg omelets of your hope. Now, we need to get this back. Were they bad men? I won't go that far and say they're bad men. I say we might have been bad followers, and the fact that we followed that man to that extent and not follow God, that's the problem. It's not the man. It's us. It's you and I, brother. Listen to me. I've been there. I have the authority to say what I say. I won't take down. I won't take it back. I'm not wasting time on the airwaves because I want you to follow me. I want you to follow me. I want you to hear me. Listen to me. Listen to me. You do not have to make the mistakes. It's enough of those mistakes have been made. You've already done it. Now you find yourself in this place. How do we fix this? How do we rectify that? Well, it's going to take the word of God to restore us back to that place where we were with God in the Garden of Eden. God has not changed his mind because Adam messed up. God says, I want a man after my own heart. I'm looking for a man after my own heart. And he thought he found it in Saul, but he was not. He found it in David. God has always been looking for a man. And today, he's looking for men after his own heart, or the heart like his, one that pants after his heart, that's chasing after the heart of God. God, I love your heart so much. God, I love your emotions, God. I just want you. He's looking for men like that. And let me tell you something. Intuitively, we were created that way. We all desire that. The problem is, how do we get back there? Well, it's going to take some gatherings. It's going to take us coming outside of ourselves, coming outside your traditional setting, because it's not happening in your church. And let me tell you, it's not happening in your church. If it was, I wouldn't need to be talking to you. So let's come, let us reason together. Let's get this problem fixed. Let's be men. Let's do what Joab, let's do what Abishai did, back to back, networking, watching each other's back, got each other's back, and saying, listen, let's be men. Let's play the man. I want to say that to you, brothers. Let's play the man. Let's be men of God. Let's be responsible for what God has put into our hands. You know, I don't have time to go back to the garden right now, what happened in the garden, because most of you think you know that story already anyway. But a responsibility was given to Adam, who he failed in. I want to say something to you. Because we fail does not mean God changed his mind. God expects from us today what he expected from Adam in the garden when he gave him instructions and a commandment. God did not change his mind. And God is still looking for a man that will step up to the plate and fulfill that command. He's looking for every man to do that. That is God's purpose. That's God's portion for man. That's God's desire for you. And there's a blessing in God for them. So I want to say to you tonight, let's take this advice. Let's take what they said here, what Abishai and Joab decided to do as brothers. I love that term. They were brothers. They were biological brothers, but they were more than biological brothers. They was comrades. They were compadres. They were networked. They was connected for a cause. And I love this when they said, be of good courage and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of God, and the Lord do that which seemeth good to him. I just pray that God would just begin to touch our hearts, every man's heart, that we can put our agendas aside. We can put all the things that we desire for ourselves aside. Because I'm telling you, the Bible says that when you it's a seek not thine own wealth or your own benefit, but seek that of another. And one thing, when the problem is we become selfish, we seek so much for ourselves that we miss it all. We miss the whole thing because it's about us. And I found something out. When I take care of other people, God take care of me. God has never failed me yet. People used to tell me all the time, you know, your problem. I have had preachers tell me, one of your problems is you give everything away. And it kind of struck me. And to me, that sounded crazy. They looked kind of retarded when they was telling me. Because from day one, I mean, God saved me the night before I committed suicide. I had nothing. I was already a dead man. So for someone to come and tell me the reason I don't have anything is because I give everything away. Well, that's what Jesus did. He lives in me. He gave away everything to the point of his life. And I told this person, I said, let me explain something to you. My life is not my own. My life is bought with a price. I was paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not my own. And that's one of the hardest things. They looked at me like they were crazy. So what I have is not mine. It belongs to the Lord. Why? Because he owns me. I was purchased with blood. I think when we come back to that and understand our purpose for God creating us and putting us in the body of Christ and calling us into the ministry, that I need not focus on my needs. Jesus preached about that all through the gospel, about not taking thought for tomorrow, meaning you begin to hoard stuff up. Your whole focus become about you and your protection and your safety, and I got enough to live on when I get up. No, that's not God. That's not how God operates. God cares for the sparrows. He cares for the flowers. You notice the trees, they come back every year. That's right. Some of y'all about to have to deal with trees again. And then the leaves are going to fall. You have to rake them up. Guess what? The grass is turning green. You're about to cut grass. See, God cares for that stuff. God is taking the care of those things. And the Bible says that if he cares for those things, how much more does he care for you and I? So I want to help you, brothers. Listen to me. I want to help you. I know God has given me something to help you. We can help one another. So listen, I want to invite you. We got an event coming up. God put this in my heart. It's the Men's Spiritual Warfare and Deliverance Conference 2015. Our special guest is going to be Apostle Ivory Hopkins of Pilgrim's Ministry of Deliverance in Georgetown, Delaware. Y'all know he's an apostle. He's a general. I've been knowing this man since 1982. Many years of ministry. He has a proven ministry. He's been faithful to his ministry. This is the one man I can say who's been constant at the one thing God has given him to do, and he has not veered from it. So listen, you can get in touch with us. You can call our ministry, call the Community Fellowship Outreach Ministry at 219-378-1965. That's 219-378-1965. Or you go to our website, CFOM801.com. That's CFOM801.com. And register through the PayPal for our upcoming men's retreat. Or you can log on to straighttalkradio.net. That's where you can catch this broadcast. So straighttalkradio.net. One word, straighttalkradio.net. All right? Again, my heart goes out to men. We're calling to all men. Contact us. Find out what's going on. Let's network. Let's get ourselves restored. Let's restore your brothers. Let's get restored, men of God. Let's get restored. Let's get back to our rightful place in God and have our Father be excited for us, our Dad to be rejoicing over us. So log on to that website. You want to register for this upcoming event. So at $95, that includes three meals, 2 days of ministry with Apostle Ivory Hopkins, CFOM801.com, CFOM801.com, or straighttalkradio.net. You can log on to there, and you can register through those websites. Again, this event will be Friday, starting Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on April 24th and April 25th. The day session for men only. Men only sessions, Friday a.m., Saturday a.m. Friday, 7 p.m. will be open to the public. Women are invited to come. Please come. Bring your families. Bring your children for Friday, 7 p.m. And then on Sunday at 5:30 p.m., at our 801 East Chicago Avenue location, there will be a service for women only. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss women. You do not want to miss that session. You're welcome to come on Friday, but that's a special session for women only. Sunday, April 26th, 5:30 p.m., women only. No registration for the women. We're going to be men. The men are going to play the men, and we're going to take care of this expense for you. So we want to invite you there for Sunday. But again, for you men, you don't want to miss this special session, this special ministry session with Apostle Ivory Hopkins on April 24th and April 25th, 9 a.m. in the morning, okay? So, to hear from me again, may God bless you and keep you as our prayer.
Let me hear the worshipers!